In a moment, you are going to hear a most incredible story. Now, as you know, over the years with this program, we're not judgmental. We don't pick sides. We try to present the information so you can decide. In a moment, I'll be talking with someone who claims to be an extraterrestrial. His name is Dale Harder, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Dale Harder is an ex-NASA employee engineer, owns a couple businesses, H&H Research, HHR Exotic Speakers. He's been in the UFO field for more than 45 years, has had regular visitations by E.T. craft. He is an officer for the Cleveland Ufology Project. That happens to be the oldest UFO club and MUFON group in the world. He is what is called an experiencer, and has worked with most of the known names in ufology. Welcome to the program, Dale Harder. Dale, it's good to have you here. I'm looking forward to this story.
Hello, George. How are you? Nice to hear your voice again.
I'm fine.
And thanks for having me on the show.
I'm looking forward to this. Hey, tell me about some of your companies. HHR Exotic Speakers. What is that?
Well, about 14 years ago, I went commercial with a product we developed. Actually, I have seven products. And it makes some of the most exotic speakers in the world. They're based on a principle known as the Walsh Principle, which was a patent from 1968. And I spent, about 45 years or more working on that principle to bring it to fruition. And we've certainly got it to the point where it's pretty acceptable.
How exciting. Now, do these speakers, are they used sometimes in concerts or just in the home?
They have been used in a myriad of applications. They're not really for concerts, but they can be used in studios for mastering of records and tapes. They have been used, and they're most designed for home audio systems so that you can hear the absolute ultimate in experience when it comes to listening to personal music.
Oh, good for you. Okay, I have prepared our audience, Dale, to be open-minded,
yes,
to listen to your story. Later on, we'll take phone calls with him. But I want you, if you would, kind of give us that version of Dale Harder and this incredible story. When my producers called me about this and said, do you want to interview an extraterrestrial? I went, yeah, okay, we'll give that a try. But tell us the story.
Well, you probably don't remember meeting me, George. We've actually met at least three times. The last time you and I saw each other and even had lunch was at CITD in 2015.
Yes.
Okay. That being said, a little bit about myself, and what I'm going to do is kind of start you off at before birth, and we're going to take a few teasers there,
all
which
right,
we will elaborate on, of course, hopefully as we go through the process.
Okay.
So the first thing probably that I could tell you is that I came into this world having full memories of where I was before that, what I did, who I was, and why I came. And so I went through a rather unusual beginning and birthing process, and so that's kind of how I started.
Was it a reincarnation, Dale, or something else?
No, it actually, if you will, I remember probably the funniest aspect is being on a craft with my people and them kicking me literally out the door as I got to the point where I was to leave. And what had happened was I had changed my mind and I didn't want to go. I was afraid to come.
I don't want to go to planet Earth.
Yeah, I was afraid to come. So they kicked me out the door and says, "Listen, you volunteered for this. You went through all the training. You got to go." So, so when I was born, I had this in my head. I remembered it, but I did go through a birthing process. I did take a physical form, human form, because you cannot survive here for a length of time or any length of time as a true Pleiadian. Their physical vibrations are just too high, and our vibrations on this planet are too low.
And you came in then as a birthed little baby, right?
Yes, I did. And through that birth process, I was actually when I was born, and they didn't keep good records of that. But I was about 3 months of age. I was given up for adoption and left on the doorstep of Catholic Charities Organization.
No.
Yes. And there was a short note with me that said my first name, or my name, was David Larry. I had no last name. And it also said that I was allergic to milk and I had to be given goat's milk. But basically that was all that was known. And there was the hint, I say hint, of my birth date, January 21st. And so the records and everything regarding my birth were sealed and have been sealed, and I have not been able to obtain them to this day.
Have you tried to, court-wise?
Yes, absolutely so.
Do you
even went through my friend Dennis Kucinich?
Oh, sure. Okay. Do you have an inkling who your parents might have been?
Well, not completely. No. No.
Okay.
There was only some conjecture into that, so I'll just leave it at that for this point.
No.
That's kind of how I entered, and it was a little bit unusual. The fortunate part was that the mother and father that raised me, a wonderful family, my mother could not have children, and at the age of 21, she had to have a full hysterectomy, her and my father were just married. So they really wanted a child, and lo and behold, they came along, saw me, and love at first sight, and one thing led to another.
And they treated you like their very own, did they not?
Absolutely treated me as their very own, raised me with extreme love and attention, and told me the truth from as early an age as I can recall of who I was and where I came from, you know, that I was not their child. But that didn't mean anything.
But little did they know where you really came from.
Well, they were soon to find out.
Yeah. How did that happen? How did you tell them? And then how did you, I mean, like you said, you were born with it, the knowledge of this. But when did it really hit you?
I was born with those memories, but of course I couldn't, until I was a little older, could not articulate that. And the worst part of it was for me is that as a child, of course, up until I was able to speak and communicate and do things in a regular manner, I had a head basically full of knowledge of all the experiences that I have even now, but I did not know what they really meant. So my entire life has been growing into the knowledge and the experience.
How old were you, Dale, when it really hit you that you are from another planetary system?
Well, until I finally accepted it, you mean?
Yes, that's a good point.
I was 56 years old when I finally accepted the truth.
Pretty a late bloomer
after
then.
A lifetime of people telling me, people coming up to me that I'd never met, coming up to me and telling me, you're not from here. And they knew it. But that, you know, so that's how it kind of started.
I find it fascinating that your race of extraterrestrials are the same that have visited Billy Meyer, the fellow out in Switzerland.
Yes, indeed, the Plejaren, yes.
Do you know him?
I do, and I used to communicate with Billy in the earlier years. Knew most everything about his case. Used to write to him, talk to him, everything, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to be asking you tonight two different forms of questions. One is your role here on this planet, because I have to believe you're here for a purpose. And then things that went on in your planet, of course, because I'm curious about the craft and how many inhabitants are there. I think there's not as many people as we have on Earth, right?
No, not as many, no.
But let's talk about your Earth life growing up. You grew up somewhat normal, right?
Well, as normal as it could be for me. Because as I grew, say from the ages of 4 or 5, that kind of thing, some of my abilities and my talents came to the forefront. And it was at that point that my parents began to realize that I was different. And they even nurtured that, especially my father, who was an engineer for General Motors Terex Division, Earth Moving Company. And so, you know, even though he didn't fully understand it, he did nurture that. And But I, at the age of, say, 6 to 7, I built my first laser, which I've been doing all my life. And
amazing.
And then I also I used to repair all the neighborhood's appliances and things like that when I was a kid.
Did you get that knowledge from the other planet, ERA? Is it not? Is that what it's called?
I was kind of, like I said, I was born with these abilities.
Yeah.
And now, honest to God's truth, George, is I grew up not knowing what it meant to say, I can't do this, I can't do that. I never placed restrictions on myself. If I wanted to do something, I would simply get up and do it. And it was not unusual for me to wake up in the morning, tell my mother or father, I'm going to go outside and dig a lake or a pond, and do it. Literally, I did do that. I actually hand dug a pond. And or to tell them, I'm going to go build a boat or an airplane and go and attempt to do this. Now, here's a young child doing these kind of crazy things. And my father would say, you know, son, you can't do that. But I, he said, go ahead. So I would go ahead and do my best at it. And believe me, it surprised them, the things that I could accomplish.
Did you have earthbound friends as a kid?
No, I unfortunately, growing up, I was different in that I'm empathic, extremely empathic, intuitive. I'm psychic. I have the ability to heal others. I can hear thoughts. That was probably the biggest killer. Hearing people's thoughts was like listening to 1,000 radio stations at one time, and I had to be trained to be able to deal with this. It used to drive me nuts. But anyway, I'm growing up with all these different abilities as a psychic and so forth, and I'm thinking, well, everybody else is like me. Guess what? They're not like me, George.
They're not.
And as a consequence, the other children were frightened to death of me. So when it came time to play or go out in school or anything, Dale was always alone. But I preferred to stay inside, read books, have my teachers teach me extra stuff, take home more material, et cetera, et cetera. And I was perfectly content that way.
As you got older, did you date? Did you eventually get married, have a family?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I am married now, and I have one daughter, yes.
What does the wife think of the story?
Funny you should ask that. My wife is a wonderful soul. She is pure Chinese. I went to China actually to get her. Her name is Yin, and or that's short actually for her name. But she is what we would call extremely Zen. There is very little that bothers my wife in any way, shape, or form. And to give you an idea of what that means is that if my people were to land in the backyard, come and knock on the door, she'd open the door, she'd say, just a minute, I'll get there.
And I suspect nothing. They might have done that already.
Yes, nothing bothers her in the least.
And how about the child?
Well, I'm fortunate. I'm sorry?
How about the child?
My daughter is 31 years old and has three grandchildren. I have three grandchildren.
And she knows this this story.
She has known about her dad being different most of her life, yes.
Okay, now let's go back to the ET life as a player in. And what was the mission, Dale? What? Why did they want you here? And I assume there's more than just you. Am I correct?
There are many, many here. Actually, I was sent as in one of the beginning Vanguard groups when forces, which was more than 60 years ago, to come to this planet. And our purpose, at least partly, I don't even know the full extent of my mission to this day, George, but the part of the mission was to come here and to help raise the conscious level of everyone and the Earth itself, because the Earth, is, we believe, is a living being. Now, Gaia has to grow, and she has to change. And her right now, a lot of earth changes and things are going on because of those changes as she moves to a higher frequency, higher level of frequency. Now, with this occurring, people are also doing that. And this is partly what is driving a lot of the unrest in the world right now.
And I've never seen it this way.
No, It's really rampant. Now, there are other reasons for that, which I'm sure that you've heard of through David Wilcock and,
oh, yeah.
Good and
no,
all the other
know
folks
well.
I know. And I agree with most of their assessments.
Are we, as a planet, are you allowed to step in and physically stop something from happening?
Absolutely not.
You cannot.
We are not allowed. We cannot. My people would never, ever come here and presume to step in and do anything that would interfere with humanity's free will.
See, we were talking yesterday on the program about North Korea and the possibility that, you know, they could launch at any time. Somebody sent me an email last night, Dale, that said, don't worry about it, George. The ETs will step in and stop it. And I'm not quite so sure, and you have just seemed to verify that they may not stop it.
We live under the same rules, if you will, that Gene Roddenberry and his wondrous Star Trek used to talk about, the Prime Directive. And that is, and that is part of the reason we're working so hard to try and raise the consciousness of humanity, because when we finally reach a high enough percentage, when we reach a critical mass, so to speak, and enough people on this planet realize the truth and are aware that we need help, and then therefore ask for help as a group, as a world, then my people and others like us can step in and say, it's about time. Fine, we'll come down, we'll give you a hand, or we'll guide you. But they will not do it for us. They want to lead us in the right direction, but they still want us to make the choices.
But if a missile were headed this way and aimed at where you live, and your family's there, your wife's there, you would not step in and stop it?
I cannot. No.
Oh.
I don't have that kind of power. In fact, if the world were to end tomorrow, I seriously doubt whether my people would even pick me up. That it's just part of the way it is. We knew coming in that we can be a catastrophe, or that we would be sacrificed. We knew that. But then we don't look upon death as most of humanity does. We just simply, realize that we're going to go back to the higher realm where we came from and continue from there.
What planetary system is older, yours or ours?
Our system is actually older than the current planetary system occupied by the Pleiadians. They originally, now here's where the rub comes. A lot of people will say, oh, the Pleiades are too young for people to come from that area.
Mm-hmm.
The stars there are, maybe hundreds of millions of years old, not even a billion. The seven major stars of the Pleiadian system, which are blue giants, most of them, and then there are more than 200 other stars in that system, in that cluster. So those planets and star systems are a little bit older. But they're originally, Pleiadians came from the system of Lyra, a constellation of Lyra, migrated from there to escape two things. One, wars and things like we're having now, and two, to come establish a new world with more peace and things like that. So some of them left, and they migrated for years, and they finally found the system of the Pleiades where they found suitable planets.
We're going to come back and talk more with Dale Harder and E.T. right here on Coast to Coast. And welcome back, Dale Harder with us. Dale, of course, is an ex-NASA employee, but he's an ET. Is that fair to say it like that, Dale? I mean, I'm not being condescending, right?
Well, most people probably don't look at it that way. I'm not the kind of an ET that people would think when you say that, because I look just like everybody else. Although my brothers and sisters are very, very similar. They are human. And that's part of the reason why they have such a concern over us and our planet. They feel partly responsible for us, and they are worried about us.
Do you believe, and does the entire planetary system out there believe in God?
Well, we don't look at it quite the same way as it is done here on Earth. We believe more in what is called the prime creation, which is a creational energy and so forth. But to say that there is a God or isn't a God or anything like that wouldn't be a fair thing. As you evolve...
Oh, you're still there?
Hello?
Yeah.
That was strange.
Yeah, it is. They're out to get us.
Okay. But as we evolve...
Lost you again.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I can't tell you what's going on. As we evolve and our frequencies get higher, what tends to happen is that we begin to see things completely in a different light. And so some of the information which has been somewhat hidden from humanity becomes more apparent.
Well, let me ask you this, Dale, too. I mean, are you in constant contact with the other extraterrestrials?
No, I am not. There are many times when I am on my own, most of the time, in fact. However, when I do have the opportunity with focusing on love, focusing on intent, and focusing on gratitude, and so forth, when I go out to call my brothers and sisters, literally, I simply go outside, look at the stars on clear nights, and it does not even matter when it's clear or not. And I call them. If they are of mind, they will show up. And so they have all different kinds of methods of showing up. Most of the communication is either verbal, which I hear in my head,
mm-hmm.
Or they can also do a physical as well as a verbal, or a telepathic, if you will. One of the things that most people will get to see, and a lot of people have been here with me and witnessed these things, is they do what is called, what we call a flash bulb. And you see a lot of people trying to use the lasers and so forth. I do use lasers once in a while to communicate, but only under very careful conditions because of things are quite dangerous.
They could be, sure thing.
I simply would not use them at all if there was ever an aircraft anywhere in the sky. But during certain hours here, the aircraft and things are shut down and the skies are pretty clear and quiet. So they come at particular times and they keep a schedule. They really do. But they will do what is called a flash bulb. And if you are out there and you ask to see them, you'll see something in a dark area of the sky, and it just goes off looking exactly like a camera flash, where there generally is no star. And that is one way that they get your attention. Now, if I use the lasers to communicate and talk back, I might make a flash around the area, never at the ship, and they will flash back. Now, you know, if you flash a laser out there at something that flashes at you and it flashes back three or four times in response to your flashes, stars, satellites, meteors, things like that don't do that. So at that point, it becomes pretty obvious that there's something going on.
Well, what does a craft look like?
Most of the time, the Palladian craft these days, they tend to be what they call the light craft. They look like beautiful glowing spheres. They may have color, either blue, orange, sometimes a golden, and most of the time, too, they're like a xenon white, like a xenon strobe, if you will. And so they can be very, very bright. And this is when the craft is basically in between the low-level frequency of Earth, dimensional realm, and a higher-level frequency, because it takes a great deal of energy and effort on their part to come from the higher level down to the lower level. So they tend to cruise in between, and that's when they call them the plasma craft. Now, then when they do come into the physical form and exert that energy, there's all manner of craft that come. And I also invite other ET craft from other systems, such as the Sirians, the Arcturans, the Yael, and the so there's various others, the Blue Sphere, the Sphere, etc.
Are they all benevolent, Dale? Because David Jacobs, in a human, I think he's human.
Yes, I know David.
He talks about that some of them are not here for our own good.
I tend to agree, George, and my own personal experiences as an abductee when I was younger and did not know, I literally asked for it, but I didn't know enough to know what I was asking for. And as the old adage goes, you better be sure of what you're asking for because you might get it. I tend to not gravitate toward grays, which are in most cases what I call a chimera, or a robot, if you will, biological robot, but nonetheless. And they tend to work with and for the reptoids, the reptilian race. Those two races I tend to stay away from as much as possible.
Are you scared of them?
I'm not scared of them. I know that they can't harm me because I won't allow it. We do not, none of us, as human beings or otherwise, have to allow ourselves to put up with their shenanigans, their abductions, or otherwise. We can protect ourselves as simply by asserting so. But they have done an awful lot of things that they shouldn't have done, and controlling this planet is one of them.
Dale, I am sure you're familiar with the work of the late Zechariah Sitchin, right?
Absolutely so, yes.
What do you think of his interpretation of the Anunnaki, how they came down here, why they came down here, seeding us, basically creating us? What do you think of that?
I think that the Anunnaki exist. I believe that they may have had a hand in the biological soup, if you will, that makes up the current humanity. I do not think it quite happened the way that Zechariah determined. I believe that the information that he got and some of the things that he had determined by the Sumerian writing was tainted. And I think that that came basically from people who would wish to spread disinformation. So the source that you get is only as good as the material you start off with. Now, I think that he was used to spread some of that disinformation, unfortunately.
Why, after 50 years, are you coming out with this?
Well,
there's a reason.
It's time, I guess. I have been around a long time. I have lectured. I used to be very active in it. And I stepped back for a while because, quite frankly, George, I got really tired of chasing the so-called lights in the sky cases that MUFON and other people were looking at, even in our own club. It got really old. We'd take one step forward and 10 back.
Sure.
I wanted to move forward, and so I went off on my own, started doing my own thing. But as I did so, I also became a little quieter. Now, after 56 years, I'm now 62, and I finally realized who I was and what I was, I became much more active. And at this point in time, I think the planet, I think people, everyone needs to step back and take a look. Now, I don't advocate at all that anyone believe what I say. That is not my goal. My goal is to help people to do, and that is to pull their heads out of their cell phones, to pull their heads out of the sand, take a look around, and research for themselves the truth. If they can do that, they may find that they have been led down another path that they shouldn't be down. And therefore, the truth will come out. So we are in soft disclosure already. And so many people, especially Dr. Greer and a few others, are working toward that. We all are.
As a species on this planet, what do the ETs think of us?
What do the ETs, pardon me?
What do they think of us?
Think of us?
Us being humans.
Oh, well, they think of us in a very loving and kind fashion. Those that, like I mentioned, that are here to help humanity.
But we're such a warring group of people, Dale.
Well,
it's all we do is fight.
Part of that is the fact that we have reptilian DNA within this physical body. We have been bred this way, and we actually have 12 strands of DNA, with only two strands being active. Now, within the last 200 years alone, our DNA has changed by more than 7%. If you go by the theory of evolution, that should have taken hundreds of thousands of years.
Maybe millions.
Somebody. Yes, yes, indeed. And somebody has got to be doing something with that, messing with that. Now we're getting to the point where it is becoming obvious that humanity has capabilities that are starting to bloom. And this is one of the things that frightens so many ET races to death, is that we're so unpredictable because we have such a wide range of emotion. And emotions are the one thing that a lot of races do not understand, cannot comprehend. So they're here. They study it. They understand it.
Would planet Earth be considered one of the gems of the universe?
Absolutely. It is rare within its own right. But life in the universe is the norm, not the exception. I believe that if you were to check, that you would find at this point in time that we have discovered more than 3,586 exoplanets, and over 2,091 of those are planetary systems, with 603 of them being as multiple systems with multiple suns, very much like the Star Wars showing the trinary system.
I used to tell my science teachers, Dale, when I was a kid, that there were other planets out there beyond our solar system, that there was life everywhere, because I said everything's the same in the universe. This soup that we're involved with in this planet, if you find the planet that's got its right temperature, it's got water, you're going to have that formula for life, and it's going to start again. And he used to tell me, Mr. Strom, God love him, he used to say, no, George, this is it. We are it in the universe, and that's it. And I went, no, there's many others. And this was beyond high technology. I was right.
Yes, absolutely right. You knew within yourself, within your own heart, within your own soul, you knew the truth. Everybody really, truly knows the truth. The problem is that they've been duped into believing the wrong things for so long. It's time to shed that veil. It's time to open their eyes and to see. And anyone who wants to open their eyes to see the truth can do so. That's kind of like the teachings that Christ was trying to tell us. Those that have eyes and ears, you know, you can hear and see. The rest of you, you know, we'll couch it in a little bit of a metaphor so you don't quite get it unless you're ready. Then we don't break the free will thing. And that's all pretty much what it was about.
Dale, what's the message? What's the message that you would like people who are hearing you tonight to say, you know, wow, I learned this, or he told me this? What's the message?
Well, the greatest message that my people, myself, anything that I could pass on to people would be, learn to love one another. Be tolerant of each other. Be forgiving. Be open, all right, to new experiences. Because when you love each other, when you serve one another, you're serving yourself. And that is what my planet, what my people, that's what we live for. That's what we do. There's no such thing as lying and hidden thoughts where I come from. That everybody knows their own things. And you have the ability to create anything instantly, especially in our realm. So as we leave the third and fourth dimensional realms and go into the higher vibrational frequencies, which is normal for all energy everywhere, you will naturally acquire those abilities, those things. All of this third-dimensional, low-level stuff of wanting, needing, hoping, owning in the Babylonian money magic system, that will all drop away. That's all control. Humanity is at the precipices. We are just about ready to take that final step. So opening your heart, learning to love, not wanting to kill the guy in front of you that just cut you off or anything on the road, yeah. That kind of stuff. We've got to settle down a little bit and step back. And when we do, that one act of kindness can wipe out hundreds of acts of negativity.
I wish so many people, Earthlings, would do that. Now, are the rest of the Pleiadians on this planet, have they made it into politics and science and things like that?
I could not actually tell you truthfully that I know that. I do not. I would expect that there are some in those places. But personally, do I have knowledge of any? No, I do not.
Most of the ETs, would you say most all, are just well-intentioned, good entities?
Yes. Absolutely. Again, like Dr. Gerr states, I do know that there are some that are what we would call less positive than us, but they are still on the learning curve too. They are growing and they are learning, because if you look at the way the universe operates, exists, there's only one thing that truly exists, and that is light or energy. All things are light and energy, and light has two forms. It's either at rest or it's moving. When it's moving, it's light. When it's at rest, it is the physical stuff we call matter, your desk, your table, your chair, your cup. That's light at rest. And that's why Einstein's equation works. E equals mc squared, releasing that energy, turning it into light, releases that tremendous energy. So we're all moving toward the goal of becoming light again. Now, if you remember the movie Cocoon.
I love that movie.
That made me cry many times, in fact, both of them. But when they pulled their skin off and they glowed, that's the way our people look. That's our natural thing, is at high energy level. And they're people of light. They're beings of light. We love, we feel, we even have sex the same. We certainly don't have, but we don't get hung up on licenses and marriages and all of that kind of stuff.
How long can you live?
The average life of Pleiadian is between 1,000 and 1,200 years.
Wow. And when
that's Earth years.
When you die, what kills you? Old age or some disease?
You literally get to the point where you move on, or you may even ascend to another realm, another higher level.
Dale, take this break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Dale Harder with us. An amazing story. And we're going to take your phone calls in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. He's also psychically inclined, so I want to chat with him a little bit about that when we come back.